slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head crash there.
Oh, very nasty.
And the crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pills. Smashes him to the ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
With a delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson.
Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the burst.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted. Shows it. Goes outside. Depp steps again. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try. Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and
Chris Gayle.
As they fire up.
I've got to say, it's my first moment since winning the first game.
Yeah.
Of State of Origin. And I've got to say, the words that you guys always use, the loyalty, the culture,
yeah,
sticking strong, all these words that you always have done through many, many moons have just thick and thick, thick and pick.
It's always got me too, Chris Gayle. Has it got you? Spick and thick and nick and tip, nip and tuck.
Gone and goner. I don't know. Yeah. Seriously, I love Benny Elias as a player. Yes. I love him even more as an analyst.
God, yeah. As a comedian, he's one of the best.
I will stick with Benny through thick and thick.
Will you?
I will.
You will. Now, this is a notion. I think that Alan Jones has got the trademark on this phrase, hasn't he?
You said it'd be correct, Stephen.
That's right. Pick and stick. Pick loyalty. Stick.
That, Dean Capobianco, Jason Sinclair.
Code, I think, isn't it, for you betray me, you're on the outer, you'll never live again.
If I bestow my support on you, never, ever cross me.
This goes back to, I think, to feudal sort of European days, doesn't it? Where you're either part of your lordship's, coterie, or you're out and you're headless.
I think you'll find the entire Westminster parliamentary system is built on the concept of pick and stick.
Is that right?
That's my surmise.
Right. So, therefore, what we're talking about here is the Queenslanders. We're in the middle of approaching number two in a game of three. For those that don't like rugby league but are listening, it is a game that is played once a year, three games, and may the best state win. State v state, eight v eight, mate v mate. And we're one up. We, being New South Wales, we are in Redfern. We are the Blues, and we're talking about it right now. Now, what has been the tradition is the Queenslanders are stuck, loyal, and never changed. Why is that, Chris?
Because they've had a smaller gene pool to select from, Stephen.
A better gene pool, you would say.
May well be.
For rugby league.
May well be superior, yep. But just less cattle.
Right.
So less cattle, therefore you mask the fact that you haven't got options.
Right.
By saying we're sticking with what we've got.
Right.
Because we're loyal, we're picking and sticking, whereas in fact we've got no other choice.
Right.
So it's a beautiful media manipulation.
It is indeed. Now, I would like to put the theory to you, Chris. It kept me away for hours, for days.
Like both Origin coaches, Stephen.
Yes, yes. I'm going mad like Howard Hughes, you know, wandering around my flat, you know, wondering about this notion of pick and stick. Because the idea is...
Do you bottle your own urine? Is that Howard Hughes style?
Yeah, was that not you collecting it?
Really through that narcotic haze?
Yes.
You thought I was the nurse?
Yes, I did.
I'm not ruling it out.
Okay.
It could be one of your art projects at Vivid next
Fantastic,
year.
Fantastic, yes. Lit up. Golden bottles.
All the various shades.
Across the Harbour Bridge.
Shades can speak to personality, can speak to health.
Wow.
All sorts of dimensions.
Yes.
And, of course, it would be curated by none other than Todd Carney.
Absolutely. We've been pushing for that for years now.
I know.
The statue at the Opera House, the bubbler.
Fantastic.
The urine on the bridge. Does it get any better?
No.
I don't think it does. Now, the opposite to pick and stick. The opposite.
Panic.
No, well, yes. Okay. You could say that. But what I'm trying to say is if you don't pick and stick, it means you're moving onwards. The very basic fabric of nature, of DNA, of you know, everything lives, everything dies. There's a cycle of life. Nothing lasts forever. Impermanence. All things must pass, Chris.
Well, this is possibly where we're different, Stephen, because you're obviously a Darwin evolution guy. I'm, of course,
a little bit of a Buddhist.
I'm a
Hindu.
I'm very clearly a creationist.
Yes.
It was all done in 7 days.
Yeah.
But I think the one thing that the creationists and the Darwinians can agree on,
yeah.
Queensland Rugby League is in a state of transition right now.
Right, right. You're missing my point, Chris.
I am.
I'm thinking on a higher astral plane here. I'm thinking if you're picking and sticking, it means you're lasting forever.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So if you pick, let's say, Cam Smith, that means you pick him next year.
Right.
2018. Then you pick him the year after, 2019. But then the year after,
but he's
2020.
He's getting older. He'd be getting up towards 50 origins.
My point exactly.
Uncharted territory.
My point exactly.
How could that possibly be?
Well, I don't know. I'm just thinking I'm a great fan of science fiction. You are too.
Yes, that's true.
You know, you can rebuild parts. We know that they do that in Melbourne.
Well, they've done that for years now.
Yeah, no, we don't know what really Cameron Smith is made of anymore.
He's part man, part cyborg. There's cybernetics. There's heuristics going on. There's all sorts of things.
Yeah. I mean, I just happened to see the Alien film the other day, and the fellow who was instructed, you know, who nobody knew was an alien.
Michael Fassbender.
Yeah. What, was he the actor? No, the original.
Oh, John Hurt.
Yeah. No, the other guy that no one knows his name, who happens to have white blood. They knock his head
off. Tom Skerrick, I can't remember. You're talking about the 1978.
Exactly.
The original Ridley Scott.
Do you remember that?
I'm way too young to remember that.
Well, apparently,
who was the actress? Was it Sigrid Thornton, wasn't it?
Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, Sigourney Weaver,
Sigrid
that's
Thornton.
Right.
Sigourney.
I've been watching the David Stratton thing, isn't
it? Yes, it's very good too.
It's excellent.
But they were, you know, basically the mission was, and the humans, of course, were who would, you know, they're fallible because they have emotion, they have heart, they have loyalty.
Well, not in other words, they're not players from the Melbourne Storms.
Exactly. And they would rather save themselves and bring back some alien creature who's going to, you know, gobble them alive, basically.
Well, in other words, sacrifice yourself for humanity.
Yes, exactly.
Again, as things that you wouldn't associate naturally with people like Cameron Smith.
Yes, exactly.
But President Goat.
But the greedy corporation just wanted to get their hands on some sort of alien DNA, you know, because they knew there was money in that.
It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but was it the Acme Corporation?
Yes, Bugs Bunny was in the background. And anyway, my point is, how could possibly Cam Smith, Billy Slater, Cooper Cronk, you know, well, Nate Miles, if he was still in there. How could they possibly be around in the next 10, 15, 20, 100 years, I'm thinking, Chris?
Well, this is really interesting that you say this,
because
during the week, Nate Miles was given a release from the Manly Warringah Hawks, or whatever John Grant liked to call them.
Seagulls, yeah.
Where do you think he's gone?
Yeah.
Where in the great rugby league universe pantheon tapestry.
Could they rebuild a great big head like that and use it again?
Well, I mean, it's a massive undertaking.
Huge undertaking.
The number of printed circuit boards that have been involved.
Yes.
But where do you think he's ended up mid-season?
Well, I would say it would have to be either North Queensland or Melbourne.
Oh, it's Melbourne Storms.
In Melbourne Storm.
They've taken on Nate Miles.
So that was where the original rugby league laboratory was set up. I know they tried for a while with Matty Bowen's knee, I think it was.
Right, that's
up
right.
Up in North Queensland.
Yep.
So they had a sort of smaller version of the laboratory.
Yes.
Scientists in, you know, white smocks, you know, wandering around trying
pilot to, plant, I think
yeah,
to use
Petri
the right
dishes
term.
Where they grew little bits and pieces, yes. Ears and hearts and, you know, ligaments, you know, whatever else they needed.
Tissue, tendon.
Far more advanced in Melbourne. Far ahead of the game down there.
It is the biotechnology hub of Australia.
You can't even get near it. Not
out
even a kilometre near it. You can't fly over it. Do you know that?
You can't. It's actually sort of, it's got screening technology that planes are naturally diverted.
Yeah.
But CSL, which is the biotechnology giant down there, a.k.a. Commonwealth Serum Laboratories,
yes,
has a whole secret division devoted to rugby league.
Wow.
And represented on the board of CSL,
yes.
One C Bellamy. Coincidence?
Yes.
I think not.
Yeah. And the bottom line is, of course, is that they've been put out of sight, originally by the Murdoch clan, as a breeding ground for the future for the, you know, Uber team. And then, of course, they feed the Queenslanders a byproduct.
That's correct.
You know, so Queensland are now sort of the, you know, the beneficiary. So this stick and pick is something they haven't quite nailed yet. They haven't quite got there, but they're getting closer day by day.
Right.
Now, in the meanwhile, what could possibly go wrong? I'm asking you, you know, we were talking about Benjamin Button off air.
Yes.
What if something happened and they started getting younger every year, not just staying exactly the same? What if in 20 years' time, Cam Smith was 6 years old? Or whatever, he's 9 years old?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because in Cameron Smith's case, he looked about 62 when he first came onto the scene for the Storms. So it's very hard to get an assessment of what direction he's going in.
Yes.
And to be honest, former jockey Billy Slater continues to be described as fresh-faced.
Ageless. Age-defying.
Yeah.
Yes. So imagine if they were all running around as getting younger every year. Would they still be allowed to play?
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
It's an open competition.
Yes. This is nothing but Frankenstein rebooted, isn't it?
It's got Mary Shelley written all over it.
And you reminded me something about Jurassic Park. Didn't they have some mad scientist in Jurassic Park?
Well, that was
the same
Bronco Reg. I think it was Sir David Attenborough. I mean, Jurassic Park appealed to a certain generation, this idea that you could get a little bit of biotech stuff and turn it into a dinosaur. I thought it was fanciful.
Yes.
I thought it was fiction.
Right.
Now I'm not so sure.
Now, in the meanwhile, if they can't quite get it right, is it really just a case of cryogenics?
Well, that's... You've got the two themes perfectly set out there, Stephen.
Yes.
I mean, we can do a lot with electronics right now.
Yes.
We can do a lot with artificial intelligence.
Yes.
But there will be limits.
Yeah.
There, you know, with finite resources.
Right.
Human DNA, the evolution. I mean, this is Walt Disney stuff.
He's in cryogenic state?
It's well known that Walt, and it's, I tell you what's not well known, whether it's the entire Walt Disney body and head, or just the head,
Futurama
style.
Futurama style,
But some part of Walt is currently in the deep freeze. And as I was discussing earlier today when we were meeting over a coffee, I wouldn't be surprised if Rebel Wilson will be joining him at some stage because of her successful... She's got a tube already booked.
Yeah, full of the fluid.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
She was successful in a defamation case. Right. So what was established is she's got a direct line... to Walt Disney.
Now she can afford to pay for it.
Well, and now that she's not doing so well in the movie game.
Oh, I see.
After Pitch Perfect 2, no surprises there. It's interesting that when she was actually filling out the court documents, had to put in occupation, consultant, Melbourne Storm / Queensland Rugby League.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Again, coincidence?
Refer C. Bellamy.
Exactly right.
Wow. Okay. So, we heard Ben Elias' statement there, and now Phil Rothfield, he's the sports editor at large, still.
Still
at large.
Still walking
around.
Haven't caught
him.
Still walking around Kippax Street with his little trolley and his electric typewriter looking to plug in somewhere because they won't give him a desk.
It doesn't move fast.
Buzz.
How hard can it be to catch him?
Well, it's not that hard. I mean, he's got three stents in the heart. He's still outpunched Paul Kent on the show, but anyway.
Yeah, right. He's writing saying the state that claimed they invented pick and stick, or was it snick and pick? Lick and tick.
It was thin and thicker or something?
Has instead sliced and diced.
Lick and stick.
It's just journalism is incredible. There's blood on the floor at the offices of the QRL for the first time, he says. For years, King Wally, Fatty and Alf have been bagging us for apparent lack of loyalty. See, now we're going to pick and stick.
New South Wales is.
Yeah, now we're going to try and catch up to this cryogenic business.
Well, we're way behind.
This Futurama business.
We're way behind. We've got to come up with something completely different.
This Benjamin Button DNA nonsense. We've got to get there.
By the way, Buzz Sounds, remember Joe the Gadget Man?
Yes.
He used to say it slices, it dices, and now it picks, it sticks.
Picks and sticks.
That'd be a good gadget, wouldn't it?
I could see Alan Jones doing ads. Couldn't you? He's
very
got the voice
so,
for it.
Very much so.
Yeah. We didn't know the meaning of loyalty down here in New South Wales.
Couldn't spell it.
Yeah, couldn't spell it. We found these quotes from Mal Meninga in the final years as coach of the Maroons. Origin for Queenslanders remains a real family-oriented approach.
Mm.
Mm. We embrace each other, much like the Tasmanians used to do. We work for each other. We support each other, no matter what. Until you're no good. Then you're dumped on the scrap heap.
These are just words to disguise the fact that Queensland had very few players to choose from.
Yeah, exactly. They say, wow, tell that to Sam Thaide.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Or Corey Oates, you know? Pick and stick what? It's a sad state of affairs.
Were you ready for an Origin theatre that's post-Sam Thaide? I thought that really came down at me like a ton of bricks.
It just suddenly ages you, doesn't it?
It really does, because, I mean, he was a stand-up comedian in a team that lacked... Any humour at all.
Yeah, yeah. And so, look, I don't know what to say about this at all. Look, I don't, you know, any predictions for next week?
Well, I think what we have to do, and perhaps in the next segment we'll explore, is what New South Wales can do differently to differentiate from this pick-and-stick nightmare that Queensland has created for itself.
Right.
But my prediction is that the second game will be held at Homebush this Wednesday.
Wow!
And
you don't know who's playing what position, do you?
Well,
because
of the genius mind games of Coach Kevin Walters, who named the team in alphabetical order.
Coach in name only?
Oh, well.
How many people are ahead of Kevy when it comes to the real decision-making?
Well, let's go through them.
Yes.
Gene Miles.
Gene Miles.
Darren Lockyer.
Yes, of course.
Mal Meninga.
Absolutely.
Wayne
Bennett, surely.
Wayne Bennett.
Yes.
Wayne Bennett hovering.
Hovering.
In the background. He's bitter these days, Wayne, isn't he?
There's a corpse. Wayne's ready to chew on it, isn't he?
Well. That's right. If we've been talking Frankenstein stuff down south of the border, it's all Dracula north of the border.
He's got to feed off the dead, isn't he?
I mean, I can tell you, Bennett is just Christopher Lee.
Can't
forget
wait.
About
he,
Clint
he
Eastwood.
He looks like Christopher Lee, doesn't
he's
he?
Christopher Lee reincarnate.
Yeah, absolutely.
May he rest in peace, Christopher. We lost him not that long ago.
Yes, not Bela Lugosi, who's a bit stout, but Christopher Lee, definitely.
I think so. Yes. Hammer horror.
Hammer horror. We'll be back in just a moment.
Fired up! Ready to go! Fired up! Ready to go! Fired up! Ready to go! Let's go change the world. Thank you, everybody. All right, who wants ice cream? Come get it.
He's been with the world. I'm tired of the Soup du Jour. He's been with the world. I wanna win this prophylactic tour. Afraid nobody around here understands my potato. I think I'm only a spud boy looking for a real tomato. He's been with the world. And I'm tired of the Soup du Jour. He's been with the world.
Time. A savage and bloodthirsty struggle for survival has eradicated the weak and preserved the predator. After 3 billion years, evolution has produced two of the natural world's true survivors. Now, these specimens of intelligent Darwinism will do battle for supremacy of the species in the cockroach versus the cane toad. Ribbit.
See all this talk about future nonsense. Now we know exactly. It's just Darwinism, Chris. It's just evolution. It's just two creatures battling it out together. It makes common sense, doesn't it?
You maintain it's Darwinism, Stephen. I just say they are two of God's creations.
Two of God's
being
creations?
Tested on the ultimate stage.
Yes, the two beautiful
ANZ,
creations.
That is ANZ Stadium.
I love that cockroach mascot.
Do you now?
All those arms floating around. Yeah, what about you, Bronco Rich? What do you prefer, the cane toad or the...
I love the ugliness of the cane toad.
The ugliness. You can't put a cane toad down. You ever tried killing one?
I've frozen many of them and hit a few with golf clubs, yes.
They wake up again?
They slept, Stephen.
They slept.
You catch you in profile, Bronco Rich, and there's a little bit of reminiscence
of... A cane-toadian look about him, you think?
Slightly. That's what happens when you spend so much time north of the border.
Don't scratch his back. You don't know what sort of toxins he's got there.
Well, so many people have had unusual experiences. You go, what happened? They said, well, I was licking Bronco Reg's back. And I started to hallucinate.
Yeah. Don't smoke it.
No, don't smoke him.
Whereas we know that, look, they may look a little sort of scurrilous, the cockroach, but they're clean.
Clean enough.
You know, they're reasonably friendly.
And it's an interesting sort of conundrum, isn't it? Because we're postulating that what Queensland want to do is find a mechanism to pick and stick forever and ever so that the same...
A mechanism is as an understatement.
That's right.
Yeah.
A trope. So that the Queensland DNA that's captured in the big three so successfully can go on forever and ever and ever.
What about King Wally? Like, his toenail?
Yeah, but ironically, like a cockroach. Yeah. They always say the only creature that'll survive a nuclear incident... Well, Rebel Wilson and...
Yeah, and the cockroach.
And the cockroach.
Yeah, and maybe Alan Jones. Maybe.
That's the random element.
Look, just made me think, if you could do a full Frankenstein and you wanted to build the perfect Queenslander for rugby league, for state of origin level, which is different as we know, what parts would you have? Would you have a little bit of... Whose knees would you have? Oh, I'd put in Jonathan Thurston's ankles.
I would have thought Three Knees Hancock.
Three Knees Hancock, exactly.
Yeah. Hancock would have... I'd take Hancock's knees.
Yes, yes.
Who was that cat that played for...
Not Hodges.
...the Broncos? His elbows.
His elbows, because they do plenty of damage. Yeah.
Lockie's voice.
Yeah, Lockie's voice.
For sure.
Yeah, what Wally, what? Wally's hips?
Well, Wally's... Absolutely. Very strong through the trunk section, plus the moustache. couldn't go past the Lewis.
Talking of Trump's Artie Beetson, what would you use of Artie's?
Stomach.
Stomach.
And firm. Magic hands.
Magic hands.
Very great hands.
Yeah, great hands. Silky smooth.
Yeah.
Silky smooth.
Billy's hair, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost, it's like those, you know, those Velodrome cyclists. You know, their hair sort of goes back aerodynamically.
And a center of gravity of Billy?
Yeah, beautiful.
Which you can't even see it.
Is that a body part? That's,
well,
such?
I don't know.
It's an attribute.
It's something in the brain, I think. Yeah, yeah. So we come down to the crunch. Whose brain?
Yeah. Whose brain?
Yeah. Cam.
Yeah, it's got to be Cam.
Cam
brain. Yeah. Absolutely. And also the lips, I think, of Cameron Smith, because let's face it, every referee in the known rugby league universe is in thrall of what comes out of them.
Well, absolutely. They stop. They look. They dream, don't they?
They supplicate.
They supplicate. They sublimate too. What about the spirit or the conscience of Cooper Cronk?
Well, no, I think the dreams of Cooper Cronk.
The dreams of Cooper
Cronk. But
I think
Alfie Langer would be the spirit of a true Queenslander. You know, that generous, warm heart St. George can't play, for example.
Yes.
Something we can all identify with.
And a man likes to dance in his underpants.
Like Sigourney Weaver.
Like Sigourney Weaver. Like Trent Barrett. Come on down, boys. So, okay. Now, the man of the moment, though, one Andrew Fifita. He's not quite human.
Well, no. He's
he's something else.
Transhuman's not the right
label,
is it?
He's a mutant.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
He's Wolverine.
He is Wolverine, but he's a cockroach mutant, right?
Right.
Right.
Right. There's a character in the X-Men universe they haven't really focused on yet, and we could introduce it.
Now, apparently he's got so little interest in rugby league. He never watched a game. He never watched a State of Origin game until his first game. Is that correct?
That's absolutely true. He revealed that on television during the week, that I think he might have started on the bench. And he goes, how good is this? I had no idea this was a possibility.
Because he'd never watched it.
He'd never seen it.
Never seen it. Well, didn't know what it was.
Well, why bother?
No.
I mean, he's not out there. He's not a spectator. No. He's a doer. He's a participator.
Yeah, and he focused on what's at hand. If he's got a mate in trouble, he looks after his mate.
100%. We know that famously.
Go down the shops for the missus to pick up some goods. He does that.
He does that.
If he's got a train, he's got a train. I hate it, but I've got to do it.
And,
right?
And it wasn't a beautiful letter that Mrs. Fifita, a.k.a. Nikita, wrote to
Nikita Fifita?
Yeah, to encourage him for Origin 1. Let's hope there's more letters coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, he's absolutely, he a little bit like you, Stephen, a bit zen.
Yes.
Lives in the moment. Like, you have no idea what
this
we
did. This dates back centuries.
You don't know what we did. You couldn't name the song we just played, could you?
Well, what are you talking about? Song?
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's no baggage.
No.
No baggage.
No scars.
No scars. Life. Well, really, the gee whiz, Chris. You keep bringing me back to very solid existential thinking here. The essence of time itself, there is no past, there's no future, there's only now.
Correct.
It's gone.
What's gone?
Can't catch it.
Yeah. Right. It's ephemeral. It's gossamer.
You can't even put your hands on it.
That's right.
That's right. And you're getting older by the second.
The fact that Andrew Fifita understands that the time-space continuum is ephemeral and gossamer makes him...
Yeah.
One of the most effective rugby league players in the world right now.
Your machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is not about loyalty or understanding your history or traditions or songs or colours, anything at all. It's about now. You send him out there and he does his job now. But he did look at the replay.
Did he?
He did. He said, I could do better.
Yeah, well,
I need to run harder.
And for you evolutionists, is not the ability to be self-critical the first step in evolving, you know, like it's the first step to solving a problem is admitting that you have one.
Yes.
So he's actually gone to the tape. And what has he seen, Stephen? What has Fifita assessed when he's had a look at his performance in Origin 1 at Suncorp Stadium?
Not good enough.
Apparently not.
No. Now, the proof of the pudding about what, you know, what level of understanding or awareness he had of the history and the players involved, not just in Origin, but, well, particularly rugby league, he went on a TV show.
He did.
Which he never watched.
No.
He said, who are you?
Yeah, that's right.
To Ben Eichen.
Yeah, well, it was. We had Professor James Rochard in the studio last year.
Yes.
And somehow he survived and is doing a show called The Professor's Second Year Syndrome on Fox.
Yes.
And Fifita was the guest of the night.
We're only into our 12th year, right?
We're veterans. Do we get a loyalty bonus for that?
Yes, we do.
Is that included in the cap?
We get free water.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't.
You've been paying. You've been putting money in a jar for water here.
4 years I've paid for every glass of water I've had here at FBI.
Yeah.
And might I
here, don't they?
Through the nose.
Yeah, they suck us dry, don't they? And spit us out at the end. There's no stick and pick here.
No, but they brought Fifita on and they sort of tested the fact that apparently he's a huge cartoon fan.
Oh.
And they would hold up two pictures, one of an animated character and one of someone in the rugby league Yes. Media world.
They tried Walt Disney. That didn't work.
No, no.
Bugs Bunny? No.
That's a little bit too retro.
Yeah, yeah. So what did they do?
Well, they put up a picture of Milhouse.
Yes.
And Fox commentator Bell. Hello. The free water. Water's just arrived.
I just realised free water's just come in.
What's that, Reg? $5? And Fox personality and former Maroon player Ben Eichen.
Hang on a second. That's beautiful, isn't it?
That'll be 50 cents. And he was able to identify Milhouse immediately.
Yes.
You know, my mum thinks I'm cool. Yeah. No idea who Ben Eichen was.
Wow.
Right, because he's not interested. No. He's not interested in the ephemera of the rugby league world. He wants to play the game.
Yeah.
And that ability to be in the moment, forget the past, not worry about the future, but just be.
And be big.
Is the complete antithesis of pick and stick.
Wow.
And it's the reason why we're into a new era of blues sustained success.
You creationists would have to admit that Darwinism has a point here, doesn't it? Evolution is at play here.
Well, I think it's, interestingly, given that we just played them, I think it's about de-evolution. Is Queensland stuck with the Darwinian, we must evolve, we must progress, we must capture, we must embellish, we must augment.
Wow.
Whereas New South Wales is all about deconstruction, stripping away all the elements to its absolutely bare essence. The rugby league must be played in the now, and we need to go backwards in an evolutionary sense, hence Fifita.
This is not very, can I say, Galliponian? Gallipoli? The spirit of Gallipoli doesn't live on here. What is the term we use here? Gallipolonian?
Gallipolonian refers to whether you subscribe to the management theories of David Gallup or not. Yes. Am I a Gallipolonian?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right. But Gallipoli-esque?
Gallipoli-esque.
Mateship is a word you're possibly looking for here.
The spirit of Gallipoli. The spirit of Anzac.
The Anzac spirit.
Anzacian. It's not very Anzacian, is it? Would you want Fifita next year in the trenches when any minute now he could just wander off because he's got something better to do?
No, I think the answer is yes, because he's not going to be trammelled in any way by concerns for his mates.
Yeah.
He's going to do his job.
So like Mel Gibson, someone will just look at him and say, "You what are your legs? They're springs. You know, what are you going to do? I'm just going to run straight ahead and score." And that's all he has to do, right?
That's right.
Or in Gallipoli, save you or get the enemy.
He is Mark Lee.
He is Mark Lee.
Yeah. You really don't want in the modern game these old outmoded concepts of, you know, play for your mates and support each other. You know, if you've got your little 5/8 there, I'll support make sure I'll protect you, et cetera, et cetera. You have to strip all that away. You've just got to do your function. And in Fifita's case, it's cart the pill up and use a bit of footwork.
Sounds like Terminator.
It's all you got to do.
Okay. Now, the explosive New South Wales forward, this is Andrew Fifita, believes that Tim Glasby. Who?
Sorry? Can you read that again?
Is he a politician or something?
Al Grasby.
Wears a good suit. The Tim Glasby put down has the potential to backfire badly on the Blues. What are they talking about?
Who's put down?
Yeah, okay. It says here, in their back page splash on Tuesday, the Daily Telegraph labelled Glasby.
Huh? What?
An NRL nobody. Right.
Okay.
And took aim at his offensive and defensive stats and even took a crack at his age. He's 28. For God's sake.
I tell you what, though. Yeah. I may not know much about rugby league, but the fact that Tim Glasby?
Glasby, that's right.
28 from Melbourne Storms?
Yes.
Is playing. Makes me feel better about the Blues.
Yeah. And big Fifita was not impressed. All these negative things being said about him really puts the pressure back on us. So he does have some sense of fear and feeling, Fifita.
Well, he's trying to stamp that down. But it's interesting because I think the concern here about this particular article, which was in essence unattributed, and boy, Willie Mason blew up on Twitter about is that the concern... he just blew up. literally. And the concern is that the Maroons will paper this article all over the dressing room walls.
Who does that job? Does Kevy do that?
Well,
or Alfie? Does that.
Alfie would do that
job. Gets a ladder.
But it's a difficult issue.
Do you remember how you used to do it? Sometimes it wasn't Peck's paste, but you used to make it up yourself at school.
Clag? Clag was another choice?
Yeah, sometimes I think...
Oh, it was just like flour and water.
Stick it together. And so Alfie has that job now because he's the water guy, right?
Yeah.
So he sticks up these articles that are going to inspire the Queenslanders to fight harder, correct?
But the job has become harder, and you know why?
Why?
Because all the players just have tablets now. So there isn't a newspaper to be found for love or money.
Alfie hasn't figured that one out yet.
Somehow he's got to attach these tablets to the dressing room walls. Oh. It's quite a logistical task.
I thought you were going to say he's going to get the paper and stick it on the tablets so they could read it before they go out there. <That's> right. They'll go, who stuck this on my bloody iPad?
Anyway.
I'm trying to scrape it off. You remember when they used to dry and you couldn't get the damn stuff off?
Oh, just
terrible.
Nightmare. Who's the player of concern here?
Okay. Well, Fafita's concerned about this Glasby chap.
I'm sorry,
who? Yeah. What? He says, it would be firing me up. And I'll be looking to prove people wrong, and I'm sure it'll be the same for him. If he could be fired up, though, Chris, because he's from Melbourne. They don't get fired up, do they?
No.
They're calm, collected.
Cold. Steel.
Yes.
Metallic. Emotionless.
Yeah, robot-like.
Yeah. Perfect for Queensland.
Yeah.
In fact, what Queensland doing here is trying to get a little bit of New South Wales into them, I think.
I'm confused now.
Yeah, who isn't?
I reckon a few of the Queensland will be looking at us as well and taking it a bit personally. It's a big thing to make Origin for the first time, and he belongs there. Fifita was not surprised by Glasby's.
Who?
Inclusion.
The NRL nobody.
Liking the Storm prop to one of his Cronulla teammates. He's a bit like Matt Pryor. Matt Pryor was a dud at St. George's, a dud at the Sharks.
Well, at least he's a premiership winner at the Sharks.
Well, okay, righto.
Anyway, by the way, who's Matt Pryor?
An underrated player, but well-respected by teammates and rivals. What about rivals?
Jason Stevens was on Sterlo this week.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how he got recruited by Wayne Bellamy, and his manager had him on the phone, and Bellamy didn't know that Stevens was listening in.
Yeah.
And Wayne said, well, our interest in Jason says, I haven't got much of a rap on the kid myself, but the players like him. Seems to be important in rugby league that people like you.
Yeah.
Except
yeah.
if you're Robbie Farrow, I guess.
Yeah. So I'm suggesting perhaps that all it is simply is that Andrew Fifita, like our famed goldfish, has no memory.
But he's got enough awareness to rate himself the number 9 prop in the world.
Ah.
But still...
The most hated...
Most hated man in the
world. Man in the world.
Yeah.
Now, we did rattle off the most hated man. That's a big ask, isn't it?
Massive ask.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I don't know who fits in where now, but surely any terrorist would rank above him. Simple. Just by the sheer act of what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it, Donald Trump is not going anywhere. He's still ranking pretty high, I think.
Yeah, he's
I think his family is too.
Yep.
And they're not even men, most of them. Ivanka, she's in trouble, you know.
Ivanka's fantastic, by the way, when you stack her up against Eric and Donnie Jr.
Yes.
Those boys, I really do worry about them.
So he thinks he's the most hated man, but he rates himself at number 9 as a forward.
Yeah.
Why does he do that?
Yeah, he's modest.
Modest, right. Yeah. Just can't remember anything.
Number 9 is a prop.
He can't remember the last Origin game, can he?
No. Well, no. He's unaware of Origin. It'll be a whole new world for him on Wednesday night.
This Wednesday night in Sydney.
Where the two teams, there'll be 17 New South Wales players, 16 Queensland players, mm-hmm. and a nobody playing for Queensland.
Will you be there?
I'll be there, Stephen.
Okay.
Feels good. Sounds good. Fired up.
Fired up.
Fired up.
After a couple minutes, I was feeling kind of fired up.
Hey, me too. There's nothing funny in that, Chris.
Nothing funny at all.
Nothing funny at all.
Well, we're not funny, so why should there be anything
funny?
Rugby
league's not a funny thing.
Rugby league is a serious undertaking by serious people with serious consequences for all mankind.
I tell you what, Vossi's got a new book out. Did you know? Stuff you may have missed.
I wasn't in the social pages last weekend.
No.
But there was a picture of Vossi, Hazem, and Jason Taylor, of all people, believe it or not.
I'm about to say, how serious is rugby league? Look at his face.
Yeah. It was. My partner Mary Jane says, You never trust a man who never smiles.
He doesn't smile much, does he?
But it was really good to actually have been in an event that is in the social pages, even though you weren't in the social pages yourself. It felt like progress to me.
Wow, yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations,
thank you.
Chris.
Thank you. But yeah, he's got a book.
You were there.
And yeah, I was, and you're going to be reading the book, I think, as a holiday treat, is
I'm
that
gonna,
right?
I'm going to wait, Vossi. We're going to try and get him on, though.
Yes, I think he wants to be on.
He handed me this precious cargo. It was a cassette that he recorded as a boy on a radio station channel we've never heard of, 2KA, I think it was.
Do you know? Yeah, you probably wouldn't know because you've never heard of the radio station, but my grandfather was general manager of 2KA.
He was there.
Yeah, 2 Katoomba.
To Katoomba. Mm-hmm. So Vossi was so enthralled by rugby league that he tried to be across all the broadcasts. They all used to broadcast the same game. And the one that they couldn't get in Sydney, but he somehow found 2KA because he probably tweaked it with a little bit of, you know, wire, you know, cotton, you know, and strung it up on the ceiling. And he used to tick, 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 and dial between the stations and record them so he could practice and learn and get to become a broadcaster.
Well, he was saying that, of course, all the mainstream stations, which would be your 2SMs with your Frank Hydes and your 2UEs with your Cole Pearces.
Yes.
And it was rugby league rights was a less complicated world in those days. Yeah. Everyone would call the same game. And then 2KA would exclusively call the Penrith game because every week the Penrith game was never the game of the week.
Never.
So he would listen to the other coverage live going between the stations and then record the Penrith game.
As he was a self-proclaimed weird little kid.
He's a pretty weird guy now. That's why we love him.
That's why we love him. Yeah. So we're going to try and get that specialty digitized. As they say, for the radio. Have him on.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Get it on a USB.
But talking to people who don't smile. Serious rugby league people. Jason Taylor's
yeah,
up
we were, yeah, exactly.
Now, you must feel... You've been shedding. West Tigers, I'm talking. Shedding. You don't have anybody left anymore, do you?
If Curtis Rona, who's not had a happy experience in rugby union with the Western Force, which might be going the way of the dinosaurs, like Jurassic Park, and they better preserve some DNA of that team if they want to reboot
put
them.
In a museum.
That's right. Yeah. Dust them off occasionally. That will be 11 players the Tigers have signed for next year. Not only can't I, that's right. Not only can't I name them all.
No,
most of them I've never heard of.
No, so it's not a matter of picking and sticking. It's just losing and desperately trying to find. Yeah.
So you've got the Queensland Alan Jones, Kevy Walters, who's coming across our way, of course. But the old model of pick and stick, and then you've got the Tigers' recruitment strategy of Ivan Cleary, which is basically called throw all the 52 pickup, throw all the cards up in the air,
see what happens. Yeah,
it's a different form of pick.
Well, there's another method too in rugby league, and that's just to buy. If you were smart, you buy, right? Now, the Roosters have understood that from day one. You just buy, right?
Since 1908,
yes. They
haven't developed anything.
Nobody.
They've just bought their way to success.
There's no such thing as junior in their code book anywhere. Junior doesn't exist.
Yeah, all those things like, you know, the Clovelly Crocodiles that we supposedly heard about.
Yes, no, rubbish.
And, you know, Bondi United. It's all... Well, rubbish. Those teams actually don't play.
And most of them
they're like bikies. You know how bikies now, like notorious, don't actually ride bikes?
No, they don't.
Roosters juniors don't actually play rugby league.
And if you check their postcards, most of those little kiddies are all from Malabar anyway.
That's right.
They just can't get a game down in Malabar, so they come up to the
Clovelly Crocodiles.
Yeah, of course they are. So, Jason Taylor gets his last laugh. Apparently he does laugh.
The article should have read Jason Taylor gets his first laugh.
His first laugh.
Because I haven't seen the kid smile in this decade.
And this article had no proof of him laughing, let alone smiling or chuckling. Snickering.
It's not one of these Murdoch assertions, is it?
I haven't got the journo here, but it says here, as the Roosters trounce the Tigers 48-8, is he that petty? That he's having a smile at the expense of the team that he tried to coach now that he's been brought over as assistant coach, if that. What is he, water runner?
That's right. When he says he's the offensive coordinator.
Right. He's offensive to you.
Yeah, he just basically gets the players' boots in order for them to put them on when they arrive.
Right, and mouth guards next
but
to it.
Is it petty for him to have a laugh at the Tigers' expense? Well, I think everybody else is, so I don't think it's
that I'm
petty.
Not laughing,
oh,
Chris.
Oh, come on.
I don't mind the West Tigers. I think, first of all, I don't like to see Teddy Tedesco go to he says it's not about the money, but of course it's about the money. It's about winning, isn't it? That's about money in the end.
Well,
status. It's same thing.
Yeah, there's the money that you get for playing, and then there's the money that you get around the
it's
development of your
loyalty,
brand.
It's not loyalty, Chris, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not loyalty.
I have to say, though, I'm getting a little bit sick of you turning up every Friday and just giving me one of those, you know, I feel for you sort of patronage.
I do feel for you, yeah.
Like it doesn't ring true. Yeah, see, that's all right, the smoke.
I love the West Tigers unless they play the Dragons. Let's leave it at that.
Okay.
He had to wait 83 days, but Jason Taylor has exacted sweet revenge on the club that ruthlessly sacked him. ruthlessly sacked him. What were the results, Chris? You tell me.
1-2. He's 3 games in, sacked for performance.
And look at this for a beat-up. The Sydney Roosters assistant coach helped guide his new team to a 48-in win over the West Tigers, who dumped him as head coach. He guided them. It's like, come on through. I'll teach you how to do it.
Steered them,
yeah.
He was in Robbo's box. He looked preternaturally comfortable, I thought.
Yes. It's the first time Taylor had coached against his former club, who were belted by 7-3. Not beaten, but belted. It was the night when Tigers fullback James Tedesco grabbed a sneak peek at how life would unfold. They, oh, no, it gets worse for you, Chris. So Teddy's going as well, isn't he?
There was a very, very disconcerting picture of Teddy and Mitchell Pearce embracing after the game over at Gatorade.
No.
It was a dagger in every Tiger's heart. But I tell you what, we haven't completely expunged the Jason Taylor coaching mentality. Mm. When the Tigers were down 40-12 with about 5 minutes left on the clock, they went for the short kickoff. It felt like it was a little bit too late at that particular juncture.
Right. All right, okay. Now, Bondo's become a laughingstock. Did you know that?
Oh, it's been held up to ridicule, Steve.
Yes, there's a big article in the paper this week. Stocked full of posers, hipsters, turmeric latte, and Instagram users and drinkers.
What is a turmeric latte out of Instagram?
Well, I've not tried
it.
It's
some sort of root vegetable,
isn't
it?
It's the new kale, isn't it?
Yeah. Huh? Imagine kale already is being outmoded.
Yes, imagine that. Yeah. I never tried it. It's already been outmoded.
I know.
It says here, if Instagram existed 20 years ago, what would the hashtag Bondo produced? Pictures of Cole Schooner perched atop the bar at the Bondi Road Hotel, a shot of a surfboard sailing in on a sunset break, or maybe a girl in a low-slung bikini biting into a sausage roll, or a British backpacker sipping on chocolate. We remember those days fondly, don't we, Chris?
I live those days, Steve.
Yeah.
I was those days.
Bondi was frowned upon for many, many years. It was a working-class suburb. It was the arse end of Sydney.
Yeah, it was on the water.
Undeservedly so, because it was a glorious spot to be. But it was a secret, really, wasn't it?
The closer you were to the water, the less successful you were in those days.
I think it was when James Packer bought in that it all turned. And then the icebergs got turned into the fancy posh birds, and then it was Italian this, and it was, you're right, it has changed, hasn't it?
It's changed dramatically.
Right. Duck art laden, what is that? Single origin, organically quinoid? What's that, Chris? Smashed this, bashed that.
Luke Quinoa played for the Newtown Jets back in the 70s, I think, and Dhaka is, I don't know, something to do when there's a nuclear attack, isn't
right.
it?
Right.
Dhaka and cover or something?
So, muffin free of gluten, dairy and sugar, turmeric lattes, kale smoothies, the Bondi hipsters has now become reality, etc., etc. Bondi's on the wane, and apparently it's all hashtag.
Bondi is awash in green avocados and rock hard breasts.
Yeah.
And that's just the men.
And cocaine.
Well.
Come on.
Hello.
Yes.
That's not in the article.
No, I know. But the truth of the matter
is. That's the subtext.
Yes. Anywhere in the East is awash with it. And we're not agog. It's awash.
And it again begs the question.
Yes.
How can you be awash in a powder?
Yes.
I mean, it's in powder form. It's not in liquid form. So how can you possibly be awash in it?
Well,
covered in it. You can be
showered in it.
Blanketed in it.
Yes, you can.
You can't be awash in it. But according to the popular press, you can.
Now, any venue that serves alcohol that has these hipsters, you'll find cocaine, apparently. Except,
okay.
But so little loyalty is there in the Bondi Roosters that when SKD was found not to have any cocaine in his hair follicles...
Nothing in his system.
Even though the whole area is awash, nothing in his system, nothing in the hair follicle. Chris Murphy said
he was pure
you could pull him apart and they did.
He tested and he was pure as the driven snow. That's the wrong metaphor,
so,
is it?
So the man was clean, but they found a baggie on him. So the rooster said, "Bugger, you're dumped." Now, that's not very rooster-like, is it? That's not very Easter suburbs-like, is it?
Well, you know, it's like, it's pretty ruthless.
Yeah, pretty ruthless. So I asked the question to you, Chris. Why? What sort of person holds the bag for somebody else?
An idiot.
Do people do that? I don't know. I'd have to ask my friends in the East.
You've spent a lot of time in nightclub culture, Steve, and I'm not across the mores.
You're not far behind, though. And the question is, I think they would say, in police terms, that the person holding the bags usually deals. But we're not suggesting that.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
We're just, one of our producers said, well, perhaps he's just holding for his girlfriend. So she's the demon. Does he have a girlfriend?
Well, he's had a little bit of issue in that area in the past.
Ah.
But But I mean, this is Adam and Eve all over again, isn't it? I mean, this is you're talking language that I understand.
More questions than answers here, Chris.
There are always more questions than there are answers.
Yeah.
But if you know, I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty recurrent defence, isn't it? Look, I was just holding for somebody else. I mean, Coco Cassie,
yes,
Chappelle Corby, perhaps.
So not charged. Charged with holding.
Well, as we continue to point out, as many do, the problem for SKD, Sean Kennedy-Dowell, is that he was charged with possession.
Possession.
Right.
So,
which, again, is ironic.
Because if he was using, he's got a medical issue, right?
Sorry?
If he was using, he's got a medical problem.
Well, that's right. Yeah, it needs to be dealt with. And, I mean, it's interesting that whilst he's very much relying on re-establishing himself up north at the Newcastle Knights on the basis of this clean test, there seems to be something in this. There seems to be a belief in rugby league clubs that if you get through the hair follicle test, you're okay.
You're good.
And overnight, the news has been announced that the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks are introducing a club-wide hair follicle testing program come 2018.
Right. Well, is there any way around that?
Well, it's funny you should say that because the Sharks...
Because suddenly you're standing there... Unbeknownst to you, there's some chap with gloves on and pop, pops their hair out.
Sort of like a...
Runs off with it, right?
It'd be the type of job Jason Taylor would be doing at the Roosters.
Absolutely. Right?
Offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So therefore...
Oh, what was that?
So therefore, the Sharks, who are a very tight group...
Yes.
What they've done is they've formed their own players association and they've even got themselves a sponsor.
Right.
And have a guess who's on their advisory board.
I can't.
Shane Warne! Greg Matthews.
Ah, oh, I see where you're coming from. The Rugs.
Advanced Hair is the new sponsor of the Cronulla Sutherland Players Association.
Right.
And that'll help them come 2018.
So when the masked follicle pincher comes running up behind you, he just gets a hand, somebody else's hair. Fantastic. It's not in the way you look or the things that you say that you do. Isn't always on time, did you know that? But just hold the line for me, will you?
The words that Sean Kennedy-Dowell has lived to regret.
Yes.
And our timing wasn't great there either. So came in at the wrong time.
This community radio, this is the FBI, by the way. Fire Up has been here since 2005 for those that have just tuned in for the first time. And look, we were devastated to realise that, like Fafita, Gaz had never heard of us.
He says he's never heard of us. I think we're going to test that theory. By the way, 2005 was when the Tigers last won the competition. I feel like...
Don't I remember the pain?
I feel like...
When you knocked St. George out.
I feel like radioactive waste. I've sort of got this decaying half-life that keeps going from 2005, and life just keeps getting a little bit worse every year.
We try not to stand too close to you, Chris.
Yeah, I know.
Chris Gard and myself, Stephen Ferris, we're just wrapping up Fire Up here. It is State of Origin 2 week. It is in New South Wales.
Are you spinning the tunes out there?
I am not. They made an executive decision that it was sacred turf and perhaps best not interrupted with whimsical tunes.
So there's no music?
No music.
Well, I'm going to send my ticket back.
I would too, if I had one.
That's a disgrace.
Now, all things Roosterland... Roosterland, all things East, you go to for advice when you need a bit of direction. You know, you go to see the Don, as you do. The dark.
You're talking about Pilatus, not Bradman, right?
No, exactly. Yeah, when you need some wisdom.
I thought you might have been talking about Doug Parkinson because he just gave a little bit of Rooster Man there.
He did too, didn't he? Why did they drop that, Chris?
I've got no understanding unless that who was the genius behind the Village People took umbrage. His name was like Pablo Morales or something like that, wasn't it?
He was an Italian producer, wasn't he, in New York? Yeah,
that's right. He sort of took out an injunction. But
is that what it was?
Because, look, seriously, Doug Parkinson, in every shape or form, have you ever heard a better cover of Dear Prudence?
He's a good singer. He's not quite as good as Hayden James, but he's a pretty good singer.
He's a great singer. Yeah. and tremendous facial hair on
tremendous
Doug Parkinson.
And stage presence.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a time.
Tight pair of jeans.
Takes me back to Brian Cadd.
Brian Cadd.
That sort of caper.
Silver Fox.
Genius.
Now, in Roosterland, when serious men need some serious advice, they turn to Trent Robinson.
They do.
The most recent is a man called Michael Checker.
Who?
Exactly.
Is he playing for Queensland this
Wednesday? He's so desperate to win. He can't crack a laugh. Nobody likes him anymore.
Who is Checker?
Apparently he coaches the
anyone?
What are they calling him? The Waratahs.
No, that wouldn't be right.
Wallabies.
Our national something or other.
National team.
That's right.
Apparently, it's like wearing the baggy green, apparently, if you get one of those on you.
Don't they?
Apparently.
I don't know about it.
No. Anyway, he's been looking for advice from Trent.
Right.
Trent reads books.
Well, he does. That makes him something more than a coach.
Yes.
Makes him a double threat.
Yeah.
A coach and a reader.
Checker's days are numbered, I'd say.
Well,
seriously numbered.
Well, he's not that dumb.
No.
Because apparently he's a frequenter of Roosters training.
Is he?
And he's there quite often to pick up tips and, you know, how to run second phase play.
Has he got the money?
Well,
it's because you've got to buy.
That's the thing. They need the coin. That's actually
the difference.
You go to the Roosters playbook and you open it and there's just a $100 bill there. That's their entire playbook.
Yeah. It's all there.
But he's smart enough that he goes to Roosters training often to see how things are done.
Yeah.
And he only occasionally drops into Souths.
Occasionally.
Yeah. It's sort of like how to, how not to.
He did admit, though, that he's a leaguey at heart. He played when he was a kid.
Yeah. Isn't there a lot of that? I mean, Fifita, of course, himself was saying that he was a union guy. Yeah. I mean, I used to love when it was black and white.
Yeah.
You're either union or league. Yeah. This fluidity.
Yeah.
It's like gender politics now, isn't it? You know, what are you? You're just a football player.
Well, I think it's the love of footy. It's like one game a weekend's not enough. I want to get more.
And, of course, Carmichael Hunt.
Mm. He's looking good now, isn't he?
Great friend of the show. Fantastic hat. Might have gone to advanced hair, possibly, or soon need to.
Yeah.
And he's the triple threat. He's played all three of these codes, rugby league and the other two.
Yeah.
And, you know.
The other two. What are they? Cricket or something?
Yeah.
Softball. What?
And he was helped along the way.
Kay Hunt. And wears a good beanie.
Yes.
Got a beard now.
Yes.
Looking hip.
Yep.
Looking hip.
Looks Bondi-esque.
Okay.
Fits right in.
Now, referees, we met a referee again, our good man, Mr. Chicken.
Mm-hmm. The Rebel.
Yes, we thought he did a great job in State of Origin No. 1, as did the whole country. The only person who didn't was one T. Archer.
Archer
apparently was in Archer's bad books, apparently.
Yeah.
Word has it, until Archer realised the wind had changed.
That's right.
And the whole country was behind Chicken.
He may not be smart, Tony Archer, but he's smart enough to read the
politics.
Public mood.
But there was more howlers.
Oh.
On the weekend.
And who was the beneficiary?
Well, I suppose T. Archer. I suppose.
No.
Was he?
No, the Manly Warringah Seagulls.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Uarte knows how to perform, though, doesn't he?
He does. Mm. Well, I tell you what, everyone's concerned about what happens to rugby league players when they retire, when they no longer hear the yell of the crowd and certain players' instances, the smell of the grease paint.
Yes.
Akilah's got a job in acting, for sure.
Yes.
Post-try celebration deluxe. Boys, I'm in. We've scored.
Nida.
Turns out he dropped it. Jared Maxwell just didn't realise it.
Now, a bit of old news, but I think it's interesting. The story behind James Graham's broken hand.
Oh, okay.
Now, the redhead from the UK, the Pommy.
Yeah.
The lovable Pommy.
Yeah.
With a pale face, pasty face.
He's come a long way from trying to bite off Billy Slater's ear, but we've all wanted to do that.
He's sort of got a commanding presence now, hasn't he?
He's really evolved.
They wheel him out to talk all the time, too.
He's opposite to Fifita, is devolving. He's evolving.
Yes.
He's your type of guy.
He's a good redhead.
Yeah, wonderful.
Great red hair. He's proud of his red hair.
Who isn't?
Yeah, who isn't? And he gets a very pink face, like all Pommies do when they start to do some work, which they don't like doing very much, right?
And when they used to be backpacking around Bondi, but they're not welcome there anymore, so they've got to go out to Belmore.
They can't afford it. Did you hear the last backpackers' place is closing?
I know.
Apartments?
Went for $12 million or
did
something.
Did you hear that?
That's terrible.
Okay, Englishman James Graham, and he's a berry you know, he's a bulldog, Canterbury Bankstown. He's always been reluctant to talk about how he broke his hand while on Mad Monday in St Helens back in 2006. So he's kept this very quiet for 11 years now, how he broke his hand. The injury cost the Firebrand prop.
That's great journalism, isn't it? Redhead Firebrand.
Firebrand. His spot in the Great Britain side for the Tri Nations that year, which left him angrier than usual. It's pretty angry. And unfortunately for him, former teammate Leon Price has revealed the story behind it in his recently released autobiography, Priceless.
Apparently, terrific read.
Apparently terrific.
And you could stop anyone in the street today and go, would you like to read Leon Price's book? And you know, they'll go, who? Tim Glasby? Who?
Yes, yes. Well, but you're a fan. I mean, you're a curator. You collect rugby league autobiographies, haven't you?
I do.
Because you own the Mitchell Pearce Library.
And at some stage I intend to read them. Good. Like Robbo.
Now, Graham won the competition with Saints, St Helens, that season, and went out on a Mad Monday, big Monday, just like they do, well, they used to do. If you're old enough, you can remember they used to do.
Yeah, it's being phased out.
Passed out after some pretty big celebrations, passed out. He earned it. He'd done good.
Played well.
Played well. That's when Price, along with teammates Lee Gilmore and Nick Fosler, decided to take advantage. It was prank time. Hijinks. Gilly lay thick black dye all over Jammer's ginger locks. Say that again quickly. And his eyebrows. So his ranger eyebrows and his ranger hair were painted dark, very black.
Okay.
He doesn't move because he's dead to the world, right? Price wrote in his book. It sounds like a good read. It started running into his eyes, so he dragged him to the shower and he started to come around and he sees that his hair is turning black. He goes mad, like punches the wall and the window frame, going berserk.
It's like a plot line in the Brady Bunch.
Yes. When asked about it recently on NRL 360, Graham said the prank was not hilarious at the time for me, but everyone else thought it was a genius, and looking back, it was pretty funny.
I'm telling you, if this is the anecdote they're using to plug Leon Price's book, it'll just fly off the shelves.
According to Price Gets Better, Graham took his anger out into the street and deliberately crashed his car into Price's, causing more damage to his own than his teammates. He didn't speak to me properly for a good 6 months after that. And well, I'm glad they're friends, they can talk now.
Yeah. It would take me 6 months to get over my hair being dyed.
Exactly. Which brings us to the funniest man in rugby league.
Well, I think we should. It's been a show full of existential issues.
Yes.
And if there's one man who brings joie de vivre to rugby league, it's this man.
So, what was that, mate?
Did you feel like the boys might have thought they had it wrapped up 3 minutes to go, or did it just kind of feel like you were being played?
Yeah, mate. They never. I don't think either side gave in to the end. It's just they came back with some good football and got us. Not a lot, mate. Jump on a bus and go home, mate. That's what we do. I was there to be won. No. Not tonight, mate. Don't feel like it.
Not tonight, mate. Don't feel like it. Now, this is great. This is a return to true form for Ricky.
No fines, but quality performance from Ricky. I mean, the misery. I mean, there they were, game sealed, up by some 10-odd points with, 3 minutes on the clock.
Yes.
We're in a miracle territory.
Yes.
Step on down Matt Moylan. And when he found Tyrone Peachey off his right hip, with 30 seconds to go to bury the Raiders, it just sent Ricky into a tailspin, which I don't think he'll ever recover
now,
from.
The angry ant, the angriest man alive, the game's greatest thinker, a whole bunch of stuff. He used to kick his own cat, right? The kids used to flee. We haven't seen that side for many years now.
He felt resolved.
Yes.
I think we're
evolved.
Evolved. Yes. And I think we're now on Ricky alert because the signs weren't good in that press conference, were they?
Take his tie, take his shoelaces, take his belt. Keep an eye on him. Ricky's not happy. Look, it's a glorious thing, isn't it? Now, Ricky,
the established order feels returned. Yeah.
Now, given that established order is back, is that a bad omen for State of Origin for the Blues this week?
It's got me worried. It's got Laurie Daly worried. It's got the entire state of New South Wales worried.
Chris, I thank you.
I thank you.
We'll see what happens after the next Wednesday's big game.
We'll report in next week.
Okay.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snotting round of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!